Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week, recapping the week that was in WWE. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you right here on the free feed, the one and the only Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'll make sure to save the very best thing I have to say for the very end of the show, and I'll make sure to have you cut it off, and then we'll have to wait till next week to hear what I have to say, but I'll save that for the end of the show.
Okay, what kind of cliffhanger are you teasing, and should I be afraid?
Who knows? Because obviously it doesn't matter for this week. That's what I was told when I watched Raw. So, you know. The best part doesn't matter for this week. They're just going to throw it out on the internet for next week. How you do that? How you time that bad? How you got your timing off that bad?
I have no idea, but they found a way to ruin the timing for the key thing we needed to see at the end of Monday Night Raw. And I had to go on the internet, on the Twitter machine, to find out exactly what it was. And yeah, that was a big blunder by WWE. Like, do you need an overrun back? Do you need to end the show like at 11:02, 11:03? Because the last few weeks, they have been off by a minute or two, and I wondered why. And I guess Netflix 2025 can't happen fast enough because Jesus.
Listen, you know, I appreciate a great race like everybody else. Shout out to New Zealand. But I'm sure USA and WWE and what little relationship they have left with Monday Night Raw, that is, they can somehow talk them into giving them five minutes a week. You know, I think the great tag team race that they have in New Zealand that comes on afterwards, I think they can wait just five more minutes for that hot tag.
Exactly. It'll be a good run over. It'll be a nice lead in for them as well. So they can wait about five more minutes. The only person you can't tell five more minutes to is Chucky, because he must start promptly at 10. I learned that lesson a couple of years ago when watching NXT on Tuesdays. It was a hard out by 10 o'clock because Chucky said, I don't do overruns. I don't do lead ins like that. I start promptly at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, okay. So I guess when they move to the CW, it's going to be Sabrina the Teenage Witch doesn't do overruns, right? Is that what it's going to be? Who's the hot new thing on the CW right now?
Dude, the CW is almost dead. There is no CW. It's going to be like NXT and the local news, and that's it. That's it. It is barren and import shows from Canada and Great Britain. That is it. There is going to be hardly any original CW programming, maybe outside of Whose Line Is It Anyway. But otherwise, this is a barren ass network.
Yeah, the new Whose Line isn't very good. The ladies know Drew Carey, by the way. But so All Americans not on?
Like, it's still on, but like, I kind of feel like the end is near. I mean, they still care, but this network, the CW of now, it's not long for this world, I don't think.
Dang, the CW had their superhero sector. They had their little teen rom sector. They had their little supernatural sector. Like, they had a lot going on for a minute. Supernatural, the Arrowverse, and, you know, all, like, what was it? The Archer show and Archie, whatever his name was, that they had a lot going on, and now they they got nothing. That's crazy. Shout out to Billy Corgan. Shout out to the Carnies.
Streaming on the CW app because they fumbled the bag, but I digress on that. Yeah, the CW's barren. They're going to probably get the biggest boost from NXT. That'll probably be their highest rated show of the week.
No,
on that
no question. No yeah. question.
Yeah, if they can pull like consistently 600,000, 700,000 viewers every week, that's going to be a big score for them. Demo is going to probably help them as well. But yeah, CW's, child, just turn off the lights. There's like affiliates that won't even carry the CW anymore. That's how bad it is.
They just need to, I think once they get NXT, they just need to get a show. They just need to get one show that, you know, that the teens or somebody will follow along with and will be like their that weekly destination type view. And they just got to get one.
I just hope they invest. I really do. It takes money and they want to save money right now. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that is the story of the CW right now. It's not much to write home about. A lot of shows getting canceled. Walker got canceled, not Walker HBK, but Walker, the reboot, that's gone too. So that's really telling you where the CW is right now, which isn't very much to say.
Nobody asked for that, though. Nobody asked for Supernatural to turn into Walker. Okay, nobody asked for that multiverse version of Dean.
Oh my gosh. Well, there was an audience for that, and
that's wild.
It
that's,
lasted that's four wild. Whole seasons. It did.
That's I guarantee that's clearly off of his back. Just from his Supernatural fan base. That has absolutely nothing to do with Walker, Texas, the Ranger, or Chuck Norris.
No.
Not a thing.
Zero, none of the above. You're absolutely correct. It is straight up on that dude that carried Supernatural for a very long time. It was nothing else, I can safely say. But yeah, that show is canceled, and hopefully NXT can uplift the CW in the fall as we get to before the King and Queen of the Ring, PLE, going down in Saudi Arabia this past Saturday. I do want to make note that we do have one half of the NBA Finals sets in stone in terms of the team as the Boston Celtics swept.
Go ahead and call it. Go ahead and call what the finals is, Keila.
I'm going to call it because the NBA Finals is going to be the Boston Celtics who swept the Indiana Pacers last night. And tonight, when this show airs, after it's all said and done, tonight's game of the Dallas Mavericks and Minnesota Timberwolves, that will be a sweep, I do believe, as well. And it will be the Boston Celtics versus the Dallas Mavericks, a.k.a. the Kyrie Irving Revenge Tour 2024 on the Celtics.
Yeah, I got Boston in, I got Dallas in six in the finals. I've been rocking with them since the Lakers got kicked out. I like what they bring into the table. I'm here for Luka. I'm here for the outrage of him winning a championship. Here for the outrage of Kyrie winning a championship and then trying to tell everybody that he's going to ride his boat off the flat earth. I'm here for all of that. I like Mark Cuban. I'm here for him getting a title. This is Boston's best chance. I just don't know if I believe in them. KP definitely makes a huge difference, but I think those two being healthy, I know you got Drew and Derek White down there, but they're going to get switches. They're going to get the matchups they want. They're going to get KP out there on an island. They're going to get Horford out there on an island. Shoot, they're going to get Jason Tatum out there on an island. Like, they're going to get Drew and Derek White off of them for those two. And, you know, we'll see if Boston can get to the free throw line, because that's the difference. All they want to do is shoot threes, and we saw what happened when they went against Golden State, and you're going against two guys who can do what Steph did. I mean, Steph is Steph. There's no doubt about it. But you got two guys who can go out there and get you 50. So you play like that against them two, and they could legit score 80 points between the two of them, and everybody else just chip in with six or seven, and you got 130 points. So I don't know, man. I like Dallas in six.
I like Dallas too. Boston, you know, they're trying to redeem themselves from a couple of years ago, and then the embarrassing defeat by, you know, the Heat last year, that kind of shook them in the final of the Eastern Conference Finals. But oh man, the Pacers, it really speaks to how they haven't been there before.
The front runners,
and they simply could not close. Conceivably speaking, they could have been up 3-1, and they coughed up three of those games because of turnovers and just idiocy and bad coaching down the stretch. They had the runners, they had the players, they had the lead, and they blew it all three times.
They ain't that good either. Like, so I almost wish they would have won, because then I know Dallas would have an easy time at the championship. So, but honestly, I won't care if Boston wins. I'm here for Jason Tatum getting a ring. I'm here for Jrue Holiday getting another ring. Al Horford, like, there's guys on that Celtic team I like. So I'm here for all that. I forgot they even had Xavier Tillman. Like, for him to go from Memphis to the finals, that's a wild run right there. So either way is fine, but I'm rooting for Dallas. I got them in six. And I'm here to watch some Luka Magic, man. I think he's going to put on a show in the finals. Win or lose, I think he's probably going to average like 40.
Yeah, he's been amazing. I think that this is going to be also like redemption from his time in the bubble 4 years ago, when he was basically getting, you know, talked about and kind of getting pushed around as the guy on the block, the new kid on the block, you know. But now he could be in the finals most likely, and I think he would definitely give Boston a run for their money. I do sense this might be Luka's time to get his championship. This is the best team he's ever been a part of, with the Mavericks, and I thank them for getting him a team, getting him players, getting him something to work with. Front office handled business during the trade deadline. Props to them. And for Boston, they have built this team for years on Jaylen, and Tatum's back to get it done. And they've had opportunities to get the job done. It's now or never. If they don't win a championship this season, if they don't beat Dallas, blow it up.
I don't know about blow it up, but I think you do have to start making decisions. Like, I think you get a full year with Porzingis, Brown, Tatum. And if you can keep that starting five, I think you run that back. You're at the finals. I mean, as long as you're not out there getting swept, then you keep that five and run it back. Like, you're not gonna. There's not a better five in the NBA, period. Like, I don't care who they would have faced in the East. Anybody, whoever they faced, would have had a hard out. Like, I still think that's the best five in the NBA. It's just the way they play, you know, it works in Dallas's favor. But I would run it back even if they lose at least one more year with that five.
Okay. Outside of a sweep.
Yeah, if they get swept, you could blow. If they get swept, something's wrong. Something's wrong.
What if they lose in five?
It depends. Like, you know, if they're games like these Minnesota games, and Luka and it's just closing them out, you know, he's hitting three, you know, hitting a three at the, you know, with 2 seconds left. I don't know. It's hard for me to say to blow up a team like that, because you're not going to get a team as good as this. You're not going to have a team as good as this. It's one thing if Derek White leaves in free agency or something like that, but you're not going to be able to build a team as good as what you got. You're not going to get a starting five this good.
All right. We'll see how it goes. I know they're a good team. They were the best team in the East, but the West, they're going to continue to get better. And if it's not going to be Dallas this year, it's going to be Denver next year. Might be OKC in a couple of years when Minnesota gets a bit strong and better too. The West is going to be competitive for a very long time. And I just wonder if this team, if they don't close it out, will they ever, with the West having runners for days, and not even counting the Lakers and what they're going to do, whatever the hell the Phoenix Suns are going to do, whatever the Warriors are going to be next season. So it's a lot to think about regarding this construction of this team, because to me, it is basically you do it now or you hope you do it next year against a team in the West that might not be as good as Dallas. But I honestly don't know, because the West is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Now, I think we have talked about the CW and then and the NBA enough to now transition to the highs and lows from the WWE King and Queen of the Ring PLE going down this past Saturday in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. We had a pre-show kickoff match around like 12:30 p.m. Eastern involving the champions, the women's tag team champions, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. And there were some questions as to why this match was happening. How do you throw a free title shot out there after Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler earned their shot at the championships this past Monday on Raw? But it comes down to storyline callbacks to Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell softening up the left knee of Bianca Belair that basically had her getting squadooshed by Nia Jax in the semifinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament, which led to some picking on Bianca Belair backstage the night before the PLE, which led to this tag team championship match. It was fine for what it was. Bianca Belair did a lot of selling for her team. Jade Cargill made the hot tag and she took care of business. I love the finisher that was not jaded or the KOD. It was basically a wheelbarrow into a German suplex. I think Jade tried to keep up and Bianca Belair kind of said, girl, I got to make the cover. She did so and they retained the championships. Love the gear they were wearing when they're covered in Saudi Arabia, but I love the aesthetic. And both ladies continue to prove why they are a dream team for now. As we all know, all good things will inevitably come to an end. We just don't know when.
Yeah, this is a fine match. And the ladies look good. They look dominant, as they should. Honestly, I thought it went a little too long. Like, I think they should just be buzzsawing through people. I think it should just be, let's roll. I think Jade's getting beat up a little too much, to be honest with you. I think they're giving way too much, and I understand, you know, you want to have a little bit of a competitive match, but these two should just be buzzsawing people. You know, you can have a couple hope spots, you know, they take the knee out, that's one thing, but I just thought they, you know, Candice and Indy had way too much offense.
Agreed. It was way too much for this match. I knew that Bianca was still selling her injury, but at the same time, you can bust all through them. No problems at all. This team is not, you know, the best. You know, they're trying to get their heel. They're trying to get their heel heat in their own way, but they're not a dominant tag team. They're not a real threat to anyone at this stage in the game. I just want to see Jade and Bianca Belair kind of go through people right now and then face legit teams down the road if WWE cares enough to build a division around them of runners that can go head to head with them in competitive matches. I will say for Jade that she can work longer matches on the road, non-televised, but when it's like time to really showcase what she's good at, let her just be dominant on TV, let her handle business, and then learn the art of selling on the road to get her even better for television down the road for those more longer competitive, meaningful matches that we kind of saw during the Queen of the Ring tournament against Piper Nevin specifically.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is the direction I understand. At least she's a champion. At least they're being featured. But they should just be running through people until you have a team that you're ready to do that with. And then as far as the singles matches go, I think you can still incorporate them into the singles game. And like you said, I like the way they were incorporated into the Queen of the Ring. And I think you can still do that while keeping their focus. And that way you kind of have them, are they being spread to then? And now you got a little bit of a story. And then each match gets a little tougher. You see kind of the cracks of them as a team. Maybe injuries from singles matches are carrying over like we've seen. So hopefully that's the direction that they continue to go and they continue to let them have championship aspirations as singles. That way they have at least some type of reasoning why they would have any type of struggle in a tag match.
Oh, for sure. So hopefully we can kind of see that balance down the road to make sure they have a dominant run before the breakup happens, whenever that day comes. As we get to the main card for King and Queen of the Ring, we had the opening match, which was for the Women's World Championship. It was Becky Lynch, the champion, versus the challenger, Liv Morgan. And this was a good match. You know, both ladies have really good chemistry together, and they tend to kind of bring out the best in each other in these settings. And they did so again here. I thought that Becky did a great job selling for Liv throughout this match. Liv was scrappy as always. And it basically came down to Dirty Dominic Mysterio coming out to ringside for reasons to try to help Becky Lynch, because he's trying to avenge Rhea Ripley, mommy, the former Women's World Champion who was taken out by Liv Morgan last month. So Dominic is going to throw a chair in the ring to encourage Becky to use that chair to get the win by any means necessary. Becky looks at Dom, wondering what the hell are you doing? And then behind the referee's back, because Dom has the referee distracted for reasons, Liv Morgan is going to drop Becky face first onto said steel chair, and then hit Oblivion to become the new Women's World Champion. Dominic doesn't know what to do, and Liv is overjoyed that she finally won the big one over Becky Lynch to become a two-time Women's Champion in WWE. Congrats to her. Thought the match was pretty good. Clever finish by Dominic Mysterio. And we all know this is the beginning of something with Rhea Ripley on the outside looking in, and Liv Morgan infiltrating Judgment Day bit by bit. We've seen the Easter eggs backstage recently with Liv hanging around Dominic, and even during Monday Night Raw talking to JD McDonagh and getting out of Finn's car. So something is definitely happening. And we saw some happenings on Monday Night Raw, which we'll get to momentarily. But Scott, your thought on this opening match to King and Queen of the Ring?
Another strong match to add to Becky's catalog. Honestly, she is I think she's underappreciated as a talent. Just she doesn't have bad matches. When it's time to put somebody over, she has no problem, you know, seeing the lights. And I appreciate what Becky Lynch brings to the table, man. And seeing her work and seeing, you know, just kind of her carry herself. And for me, this came off of as she wanted to be the one to make sure whoever was going to be the champion long-term, she wanted to be the one to kind of give them that rub going forward. So, shout out to Becky Lynch, man. Just always has one of the best matches on the card. And I thought this was a really good match. Liv Morgan more than held her own. I do think she's going to have to change up her moveset a little bit. Like, her whole moveset screams babyface comeback, you know, from the code breaker, even her finisher. Oblivion is a sweet looking finisher, but everything about what she does is high flying. Like, I think now she needs to be more methodical. She needs to start targeting more. You know, one group team that I thought did a good job of changing up their entire moveset was the Usos. When they first turned, it was all about going after the leg. Then they went after the submissions. They were hitting frog splashes on your legs. So I think Liv needs to embrace some sort of limb, some sort of attack or limb. Like, if she wants to use the Rings of Saturn, then she needs to be going after the arm, but she needs to be targeting something now, so that way she's not relying on those high flying moves for all of her matches. That's my only critique.
Yeah, she's kind of gotta, you know, modify the babyface in the ring style, get a little bit more heelish, get some heat behind it as well. I think that will come with time as she gets more comfortable as being a heel. This is kind of her first go round outside of being a part of the Wyatt squad all those years ago. She'll find her footing and she'll kind of clean up the ring game to make it more heel friendly for her moving forward. But very good match. Becky Lynch, consummate professional as always. She's always giving anything that is asked of her. She just does it. And I know that post WrestleMania, she probably was going to take some time off, spend time with the family, but injuries happen. She gets called in and look what she does. She wins the championship. And who did she put over immediately? It's Liv Morgan to get her run going as the heel champion representing Monday Night Raw. So Becky will always get the ultimate props and respect from me for always stepping up in a time of crisis for WWE when it comes to injuries in the women's division. As we get to our next match, which was for the Intercontinental Championship, it was the champion Sami Zayn, who gets an amazing ovation from the Saudi crowd, versus Chad Gable versus Bronson Reed for his championship in a triple threat match. I thought this match was probably my favorite match of the entire PLE. I loved it. I love the creativity of the triple team spots. Sami Zayn hulking up and landing a Blue Thunder Bomb on Bronson Reed was crazy for a very close near fall. The triple German suplex by Chad Gable to both Reed and Sami Zayn was pretty damn fun as well. A lot of creative spots. All three guys put in that work, which I always appreciate. But it came down to Otis doing Chad Gable's bidding. So, of course, he takes out Bronson Reed. But when it's time to take out Sami Zayn, Otis is conflicted because he wants to do the right thing. He apologized to Sami Zayn this past Monday on Raw about what happened. But Chad Gable wants him to take out Sami. So he slaps Otis across the face. That fires up Otis. And then we have Chad hold up Sami to get clotheslined by Otis, but Sami ducks and Chad Gable clotheslines Chad Gable instead, lays him out at ringside. And during all of this downtime, Bronson Reed is able to just roll in the corner conveniently, and Sami Zayn magically hits the Helluva kick to retain the championship. That's my only drawback, is the finish. It was kind of like lazy to get to it, but the larger story is obviously Otis and his war of conscience to do the right thing versus being in line with Chad Gable. And I can only imagine the pop he's going to get whenever he finally breaks those chains and free thyself from the Alpha Academy. But great icy match nonetheless.
Yeah, Otis too big for that. to be taking orders from Chad. Pause. But it's just like... Just saying, man. Sorry, I got that was wild. I agree. The match was really fun. Bronson Reed excels in these multi-man matches. Chad Gable's great. Sami Zayn, I wish he just beat Gunther clean as a whistle, and he survived his last two title matches due to some shenanigans. You know. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. He just lost the singles match, and now he just survived this one due to some shenanigans. So it's like, come on now, let's make Sami still feel like mini Superman, you know, because that's essentially what he felt like to beat Gunther. The match was, like you said, the match was great. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if Chad's going to get the IC title. You know, I was thinking he was this whole time. I don't think he gets the IC title now. I think now we just get, you know, the Chad Otis eventual, breakup. And we saw what happened when Otis accidentally hit Chad. So when he does it on purpose and he hits him with the worm, because that's going to be the big reaction. He's going to slam him in the corner and he's going to, boy, is he going to gyrate over top of that man. And yes, hey. Pause again, but that it is going to be wild watching what that man do, because that the crowd is just going to eat that up, and he's going to hit that worm and they're going to go crazy. It might even be Maxine who jumps in the ring and hits a worm with them too. But it's going to be great. And I look forward to that eventual payoff.
I feel that as well. It's going to be an amazing moment. Otis is going to deliver the biggest worm ever to Chad Gable, and then their consequential match is going to be incredible, because those guys are just going to go out there and ball out when the time comes. Now, I do have a feeling that eventually Chad will win the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know when, but I do see the long game of him formulating a brand new Alpha Academy, Team Gable, with the Creed brothers. It's already being teased. I can sense it coming in the months ahead. And then I can see all of them having championship gold before the end of the year. That is probably the vision for that. You don't want to have Chad belted until you have his new team assembled of heels and the Creeds and Ivy Nile, and having her turn on Maxine Dupri when the time comes as well. So I think that would be the long game, and Chad could be champion by the end of the year, early next year. That would be my prediction. It won't be anytime soon, but the short term is definitely him and Otis, probably before the end of the summer, and I'm here for that.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I definitely see him beating Ricochet for the speed title at some point on that.
Oh my God, stop it.
No question. I'm with you on that.
Stop it. I did not say anything about the speed championship. You are the one adding that to the equation. No.
Hey man, shout out to the 5 minute soldiers.
The 3 minute soldiers, actually.
You know, they said they don't want no 1 minute man, so we're gonna give them a 5 minute. We're gonna give them 2 5 minute men. Shout out to y'all.
The 3 minute soldiers, the 3 to 5 minute soldiers of speed.
Is it because it's a 5 minute for the title match? No, you're right. It's 3 minutes for the regular match and it's 5 for the title match, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, right. So when it's time for the big finale, you go 5 minutes. When you're working your way up there, it's 3 minutes. Got it.
Yes. Well, you know, it's the easiest 3 ain't enough, I need 5 reference I can ever land on this show in honor of Big E.
That's good. That's good.
I couldn't resist. So yeah, Chad Gable will not be winning the speed championship in the year 2024. No, stop it. He will win a championship. Won't be that one, but we shall see. As we get to our first crowning of the day, the Queen of the Ring tournament finals involving Nia Jax and Lyra Valkyria. I love Lyra's entrance with the wings. I said this before, but I called it, like, the presentation on the main roster for her entrance was going to be special, and I was correct. Big time production, big time entrance. Love that for her. The match itself was not bad at all. It was basically a battle of size and quickness and agility by Lyra trying to ground Nia Jax. It worked momentarily, but then Nia just slowed things down and wore out Lyra. Midway through this match, Lyra comes back with the bulldog on the floor on the outside, and she's going for an enziguri. The kicks are kind of light, not the best, but she tries to get the victory. Nonetheless, the fans are into it, and then she goes in the corner to try to powerbomb Nia Jax. In the most horrifying finish on the show, Nia lands the most gnarliest annihilator you will ever see. She squashed Lyra like a bug. Lyra's arm went like limp. She went swoosh. And then Nia, 1, 2, 3, wins. She is Queen of the Ring. She wins the crown. And as learned by Triple H this past Thursday doing a press conference for this PLE event, the winners of the King and Queen of the Ring will earn title shots for their respective brands at SummerSlam for the Women's or WWE Women's Champion of the World or WWE Women's Championship or the World or WWE Championship for the men. And Nia Jax will earn that shot against Bayley if she is still the champion by SummerSlam in early August. And Triple H comes out to the ring to officially coronate Nia Jax as the Queen of the Ring. Very emotional moment. Nia has been through a lot in WWE, I should say, in the last couple of years from her release to her return to her having a pretty impressive run. I think Nia has been very good upon her second run in WWE. I've been very critical of her in the past, but I think that she's done a very good job. She plays her role well. She's well protected in terms of booking, and I think this win was deserved. Lyra was very impressive in this tournament, but it was Nia's to lose, and she did not in the end.
Yeah, and shout out to Triple H for making Nia Jax take a knee.
whatever that was about.
That's gonna go down. That'll be on the highlight reels for the end of the year, or at least it should be, that finish. That was wow. You look in the background and you can see Corey Graves stand up, throw his, and he's like, oh my god. I mean, the sound, the way she just sat, and there was no, she wasn't holding the ropes. It was just, wow. That was a great, great finish. You didn't see it coming because you didn't see that happening. No, nobody saw her taking that bump like that. So that was a great finish. I thought this was one of Lyra's, I thought this was probably her best match on the main roster. I like the David versus Goliath that they told. I don't think the crowd was as invested as good as the match was. They were invested, but not, I thought the match was really good, at least for what I saw. And I thought they did a good job with the David versus Goliath. Yeah, her strikes could definitely use a little work. And I think like Nia can take it. Like, you got to lay that in. And I think Nia needs to tell, yo, ladies in, kick me. Don't worry about me. Hit me. Don't worry about me. I'm good. But yeah, this was a fun match. Nia is the right choice. And her versus Bayley is interesting because with that being the case, I'm fully expecting a Tiffany Stratton Money in the Bank win. Nia destroys Bayley after Bayley barely beats Nia Jax. And I think Tiffany Stratton could be walking out of Money in the Bank as your new, SummerSlam as your new women's champion.
It's very possible. Now you're telling people to hit Nia, right?
Yeah.
You're encouraging this, correct?
Absolutely.
As long as you don't start shooting in the ring, we're good. Okay. Charlotte about that. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I figure Charlotte hitting somebody is a little bit different than Lyra giving her. them little love taps that Lyra was giving. I think if she decided to put a little more oomph into it, it should be okay. Charlotte was sticking Nia in the face. That's a little bit different. And there was some malice behind those from Charlotte. And I feel like Charlotte could probably throw hands if she really needed to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For sure. Definitely. We kind of saw that on live TV. I'll never forget it. But hey, Nia got to the wedding, and that's what's important. So.
No doubt.
The beef didn't last for long. But yeah, the possibility of Tiffany Stratton cashing in if she wins Money in the Bank and winning over Bayley at SummerSlam, that is a very good possibility. And her and Nia, we can kind of see the alliance forming here if it comes to pass. If Nia softens up Bayley enough to get the job done, we'll see about that as well. And I just want redemption for Bayley because Nia Jax, many moons ago, and I started to side-eye her for this, she was responsible for that initial shoulder separation. Mm-hmm. I have a long memory. I have forgiven Nia, but I don't forget certain things.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll use that for the storyline, which will work good.
Mm-hmm. I like that infusion of history. And now it is time for the finals of the King of the Ring tournament involving Gunther versus Randy Orton. And you know what? The France crowd from earlier this month have really touched the hearts of fans all over the world as now they are singing Randy Orton's theme song. They played the entire song for a good 7 minutes and they serenaded Randy. It was a great atmosphere. Gunther was unbothered by it all and Randy soaked up the song, the chants, the love. It was great. The crowd was hot for Randy. They were into the opening minutes of this match and this was great professional wrestling. If you love ground and pound, if you love methodical, you love psychology, if you love that kind of pace in your wrestling, this was a match for you. Randy Orton is amazing at selling because this guy legit has a bad back and he has a worked knee injury from the tournament, but his selling makes you believe every part of his body is in pain. that he looks old and worn down and broken. And Gunther takes advantage by slowing down the pace, going after the back and the knee, and Rani finding ways to fight back, trying to hit the RKO, and Gunther ducks. And then Gunther eventually gets hit with the RKO by Rani Orton, and he rolls out the ring to protect himself in a great spot. Then we have Rani deliver the belly to back suplex to Gunther on the announce table that pops the crowd as well. But unfortunately for Rani, despite all of his best efforts to win this match and win King of the Ring, Gunther is able to do a pinning combination on Rani, but Randy's shoulder is up. I mean, up off the mat. Put a paper under him. It ain't touching the mat. 1, 2, 3. Gunther is the King of the Ring. We have a replay. Corey, since this something is up, can't say more about that. Triple H does acknowledge shoulders being up, but the referee's decision is final. But that does not mean we can't revisit this match down the road. But very good match. I will say, because of what happened, I was very... I was kind of let down by the finish. I was happy for Gunther, but I was underwhelmed when he got coronated by Triple H.
I thought the match was great. Thoroughly enjoyed this match. And let's keep it a buck, Kilo. We both watched basketball. We had a nice 10-minute chat about it before the, you know, right when the beginning of the show. We saw how awful these referees are who can look right at something and be like, nah, that's not a foul. Nah. He didn't get hit. Nah, no travel. So, yeah, I can 100% believe that this referee was like, nah, his shoulder was down. It's Gunther. Of course he had his shoulder down. So, yeah, I can 100% believe that they made a bad call. I like the fact that Triple H after the match was like, hey, he made a bad call, but the referee's decision is final. You know, just like in real sports, referee made a bad call. What they go do, put out a... They're going to put out a 2-minute report, an L2 report. We're about to get the first wrestling L2 report. It's going to go over like the last 3 pinfalls of the match and say if it was close, rope breaks, and all that stuff. But I thought the match was great. Randy took his lumps, fought back great. I thought the first RKO was done well. You knew he was kicking out of that one. That second RKO, though, the quick pinfall attempt, really well done. Randy got some more. Me personally, I know they wanted to give Randy the out. And one thing I do want to acknowledge, when Gunther kicked out before Randy got, before he did that roll up, Gunther chopped the knee. He chopped the knee. When you go back and watch, he chops the knee. He doesn't even kick out. He just smacks that knee. And you see Randy go right to it and hold it. And it kind of adds to the whole, you know, he sits there and somebody else pointed out something as well. Almost every one of Gunther's opponents, because by the way, he submitted and or made put to sleep everybody in the tournament so far, except Randy. But all of those happened either after a pinfall attempt when they were shocked that they didn't pin him, or it was right after they kicked out of a long two. So he's transitioning right into it. Same thing here. He transitioned right into the pinfall. Little things like that. I like the story that they told with Gunther, how he was tapping everybody, but I would have had him hit like 6 finishers. I would have had him just be like, no, I'm done with this. Power bomb, splash, clothesline, and then put him to sleep. I thought the match was great.
It was really good. And Randy got chopped and he lived.
And he lived. Hey, you're right though. He did live. And let me tell you something, man. Randy's a really big guy. Pause. Because, I'm sorry. Like, that's a wild statement, though. But, like, whenever, like, I see him matched up against somebody who also, like, you know, he's a big guy, Randy just is like, nah. No, he's not. No, he's not. So, like, I just, every time he's matched up with somebody, I'm just more impressed by, like, how big Randy is. God dang.
You can't help yourself. I mean, girth is girth today.
It is what it is, man. I'm an RKO guy, so it is what it is.
Yes, you know, he's big and he's strong and he handled business until the end. And hey, it's true. He's very big, you know. He has big frame. He's got big everything. And he handled business until he could not in the end. And it opens the door to a rematch, which I'm here for as well. And he survived getting chopped by Gunther. His chest wasn't that bruised up. It was bruised up just enough because he said, listen, I can only take by three of those. I can't do five or six. Okay. Ease up. And Gunther did to a point. But all in all, really strong match. And I look forward to the rematch down the road as we now get to the main event of the King and Queen of the Ring PLE. It was Cody Rhodes, the undisputed WWE champion versus the United States champion, Logan Paul. And this match was once again another very good outing for Logan Paul. And Cody's had two back-to-back great title defenses. Love this action throughout. I think this was the most pro wrestler Logan Paul ever looked in the ring. He looked really good out there. He kept up with Cody. I love what they did together. The chemistry was on point. Everything looked clean out there. The camera work was incredible down the stretch, I must say, as well. But the story of this match was Logan Paul being a supreme shit talker, and he has a titanium plate in his hand that can deliver a knockout blow, but he is reliant on brass knuckles. And before this event, he gave his knucks to Michael Cole for safekeeping. Then he had another set of knucks that was confiscated by the referee of this match the day before on SmackDown. And then when there's brawling at ringside, one of his prime boys gave him another set of brass knucks. How all of this passed security, I have no idea, at the Saudi Arabia airport, but I digress. So at one point, we have Logan Paul gut check Cody with said brass knucks, weakens him for the rest of this match. At one point, he lays Cody on the Saudi Arabian announce table, and he goes up top. And this drone shot is incredible of Logan getting in position to deliver a gorgeous frog splash on Cody through the announce table. Great moment, I must say. Then Cody does a freaking cutter backwards to Logan on announce table as well at one point during this match. And Logan delivers a beautiful frog splash with gorgeous extension for another near fall as well. But ultimately, it comes down to some interference courtesy of one of the Saudi Arabian comedians out there. His name is escaping me. He causes a little bit of interference on behalf of Cody Rhodes because Logan Paul is trying to cheat again after some ref bumps. And that leads to Cody hitting not one, not two, not three. Yes, three crossroads on Logan Paul to retain the championship. Very good match. Strong outing for Logan Paul once again. Strong outing for Cody to retain his championship once again. And I thought this was a great match and a pretty good show.
I agree. I think it's in the top three for Logan Paul. Really enjoyed it. That drone shot was incredible. One of the best shots we'll get all year from WWE. Also, Cody Rhodes pulled out a vertebraker. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's last two PLEs. He's taken a burning hammer and he's given Logan Paul a vertebraker. So this man is just, I can't wait to see what he pulls out next PLE. But yeah, this, I thought this was another great match. Logan Paul is, I'm not surprised by him anymore. He is one of the, his catalog is strong. I know he doesn't wrestle every week and I know he's not out there. I get that. But whenever he's called upon in these big matches, he delivers, man. We talked about his match with Seth Rollins, which was a great match. Just it wasn't this classic. And we talk about how, you know, it didn't live up to the hype because it wasn't a classic, but it was still a great match. And that's like, Logan Paul is great at this. He's a great wrestler. People don't want to say that, but that's it is what it is. Like his facial reaction when he hit the splash of the table, then hit the splash in the ring when Cody kicked out, that's a great facial right there. Great heel facial right there. I think Logan Paul is one of the best heels WWE has. And when LA Knight takes that title off of him at SummerSlam, it's going to be a huge moment.
Oh, for sure. In his hometown, nonetheless, in Cleveland. Will there be any Logan Paul supporters in Cleveland? I don't know. But I'm glad this guy figured out, like, dude, you're meant to be a freaking heel. Stop trying to be a babyface. That was a WWE directive he fell for in the beginning during the Vince administration. But he figured it out. He's a great slimy heel and he's a great wrestler. I cannot believe I'm saying Logan Paul and great wrestler in the same sentence, but he is. He has been exceptional in most of his matches, and this is one of his better matches in the last year or so against Cody, who is great as always. So yes, definitely great outing for this guy who will continue to get better and better. And what a nice PLE. You know, Saudi Arabia, you know, it is what it is, you know, blood money. But for the 3 hours we got of wrestling, not bad at all. But Scott, your final score on a scale from 1 to 10 tiers.
Man, I'm going to give this a solid seven Wakanda ripoff posters. Oh, and
my God.
I'm also going to give my top two matches, because there's only five. Randy and Gunther, I'm going to give that, man, I'm going to give that 4.25 chops. And I'm going to give Logan Paul and Cody, man, I really enjoyed that match, man. I'm going to go 4.5 vertebreakers.
Okay. Cool. I co-sign on both of those. And my favorite match was Sammy, Bronson, and Chad. I'm going to give that 4.25 haluva kicks.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I would give Nia Jax and Lyra Valkyria 3 annihilators. And I would give Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch 3.5 oblivions.
I got 3.75 man slams from Becky and Liv. I enjoyed that a little bit more. I think you're spot on with the Nia and Lyra match, though.
All right. And I will also give this show a solid 7 out of 10 tiers. I really enjoyed the show. Didn't overstay its welcome. All the matches had purpose to it. And the right people won. So I am not complaining about that whatsoever. Now, in terms of complaints, I have plenty for Monday Night Raw going down live in Savannah, Georgia, my home state. This, to me, was not a very good episode of Monday Night Raw. Crowd was very mid. They reacted for some things, but very, very dry throughout the show. Gotta say, I love the following people very much. Damian Priest, the World Heavyweight Champion. Drew McIntyre, the number one contender for the championship. The new King of the Ring, Gunther. I like Braun Strowman a lot. He didn't talk during this opening segment. But all three of these guys, and McIntyre, Priest, and Gunther, who I normally love, talk and just be pompous and arrogant and cool. They just talked and talked and talked and talked. And it wasn't a lot to it. It was just a lot of talking. And I didn't care. And the fans were like so for it as well. So that was pretty blah to kick off Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I only got the last hour. So that sucks. But I'm glad I didn't get to have to watch it. But I will... I'll definitely catch up on it, unfortunately. But I think that's a good 4 to have in the title mix. And I think that's probably what our title picture is going to look like for the next 3-4 months.
For sure. I like the setup, but the promos, it didn't do a lot for me. I'm just going to be very honest when I say that. It was like Drew McIntyre talking about, when you come to my home country, it's going to be like them rooting for me, and that's going to rattle you. That's going to get under your skin. It got under Roman's skin, and the only reason I didn't win the championship that night was because of Solo Sikoa. So I'm going to definitely beat you because of the crowd. And Priest says, I ain't going to be intimidated by no crowd in Scotland. Is your wife going to be there? And then Drew kind of fired up, and he said, why are you talking about my wife? He says, well, you want to get under people's skin. I got under yours. And then Strowman comes out to set up a match with him and JD McDonagh. And that was something. This was basically a rough outing for JD. Braun threw him around like a rag doll. You flew up in the air, went down. At one point, we had interference from Judgment Day. And then we had JD using his head, his floating head, to headbutt Braun Strowman. That backfired. But in a cool spot, which I haven't seen before, Braun lands a tilt-a-world power slam on JD McDonagh to get the win. We got the beatdown from Finn and JD afterwards. And then in a show long angle with Strowman's bad knee, he's going to try to hunt and chase down JD McDonagh and whoop his ass. That plays into the main event, which I absolutely hated, but this match was fine for what it was.
Yeah. The main event definitely came into play at the end of the main event, but he didn't show a lot of signs of that as he was chewing through everything.
All right, as we move on to our next segment, which is Ricochet versus Ilya Dragunov rematch from their King of the Ring qualifying match a few weeks ago. This match was great as always. Both guys have amazing chemistry. Ricochet lands a moonsault on the ass out of the Dragunov. He goes for the 630, rolls out of that. And we have Dragunov land a clothesline followed by the Constantine special for a near fall. We have Dragunov chop and chop and chop Ricochet before landing a power bomb. Dragunov goes to the top rope to go for an H-bomb coast to coast, but Ricochet super kicks him in midair, hits a recoil for a very close near fall, goes up top for the shooting star press, but we have Dragunov he hits it, but he was a little bit injured to make the cover. And then, my God in heaven, Bron Breakker, who was suspended by Raw General Manager Adam Pearce for what he did last week. Braun Strowman says, F your suspensions. I still got things to do. And he proceeded to, Scott, I encourage you to find the clip, because he got in that ring and he speared the ever loving hell out of Ricochet. The spear, the bump, the sell by Ricochet was incredible. Find the clip. You'll be in awe. We have Dragunov trying to chop some sense into Breakker. That did not work. He got speared as well. The tan's on point. Breaker's barking. The fans love it. And then we have Adam Pearce trying to reprimand Bron Breakker. Bron laughs at him, walks away from him. One day, as predicted by Scott, I do believe, Scrap Daddy might get scrappy with Bron Breakker, and I need that in my life. The only way that'll happen is if and when Bron Breakker spears Adam Pearce.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. If you're not going to give Bron Breakker Sami Zayn at SummerSlam, I think him versus Scrap Daddy's the way to go. Adam Pearce could take a beating. I think he can get the crowd fired up. I know he can cut the promo. And Bron Breakker, all he needs to do is just continue being him. And I love the fact that they've got him in the mix with Ricochet and Dragunov. Those three just having matches is going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. When Ricochet or Dragunov pin the other in a triple threat with Bron in it, and he just snaps, and Pearce is like, well, you had your shot, you blew it. It'll be like for a number one contender shot for Sami Zayn or something. And he just snaps. It's going to be great. I think that's the way you go for SummerSlam. He needs to be on that card. That's a big card. He should be on that card. And him versus Adam Pearce and him just kind of beating up Pearce and Pearce getting a couple hope spots. It's the way to go, man. You give him a big win.
Yes, I'm here for that too. And in the interim, I'm here for any combination of Ricochet, Dragunov, and Breakker. My God, it's going to be great. But yeah, I love this segment. One of the few things I liked about the show, Bron Breakker's presentation has been very good on the main roster so far. He's going to end up being a babyface. He's a badass. They're going to love it. He's just charismatic in that way. It's unavoidable. But we'll move on to the Authors of Pain squashing the Creed brothers in 3 minutes, because Scarlett lays out Ivy now at the ringside, and that leads to the finish. Didn't miss much on that, Scott. As we get to Sheamus' promo, he comes back after getting that ass whooped by Gunther in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament last month. Ludwig Kaiser keeps talking that talk, saying Sheamus ain't shit. He's old. He's washed. He ain't got nothing to say. He got nothing to do. But that's leading to a match between the two down the road, and I am here for that. They brawled backstage. Kaiser got the jump on Sheamus, made it to ringside, and officials broke things up. Adam Pearce having a night, breaking up another brawl at ringside. As we get to Lyra Valkyria versus Kairi Sane, short match. We have Kairi get pinned by Lyra with a roll up, crucifix cover. And then we come back to Io Sky watching her teammate lose, and she flips and she breaks shit in the dressing room, and she walks away and spooks Dakota Kai and Kairi Sane. And from there, I'm gonna let Scott take point on the hour of Raw he did see. I'm gonna sit back, relax for a bit, and I'll tag back in for the main event.
So I came in and saw Carlito versus Rey Mysterio. Match was fine. Dragon Lee's just wearing t-shirts now. So good on him collecting a paycheck and wearing t-shirts. So shout out to him. He almost got to do something cool, but that got ruined. Damian Priest came out after Rey and Carlito had a nice little match. Rey Mysterio wins. And then Dragon Lee was going to splash Finn Balor through a table. He's going to splash Finn Balor through a table. Damian Priest comes out. Carlito, all of a sudden, he's got apples in his mouth, and he spits one in Dragon Lee. So there's just chaos everywhere. Damian Priest, he starts destroying everyone. Here comes – it's just nonsense everywhere. I could be forgetting something. I think somebody – did Braun come out here as well?
Did he come out for this match?
I can't remember if he came out for this match or not.
Let me think very carefully. Did he come out for this match? He did not come out for this match.
Okay. I know he came out for the main, but I couldn't remember if he made a quick little pit stop on the way. But no. The next thing you know, we got next thing I saw was Otis and Bronson Reed, some big sweaty men slapping meat. This is a fun match. I enjoy the heavyweights going at it. So this was cool. This was fun to see. Otis had the crowd rocking. I'm gonna tell you what, when he tossed Bronson Reed with that body slam, tossed that boy like a bag of sand. Very impressive. He did that very easily too, by the way. So these guys are strong behemoths. And when he got that crowd fired up and Chad saying no. No, he still ripped that shirt off. I was hoping he was going to hit it. Bronson Reed ends up getting the big tsunami for the win. Then we get a long classroom session with this felt like a Drew Gulak PowerPoint session right here. But we had Chad Gable coming out, and he, you know, Alpha Academy always comes out, and he reprimanded all of them, and he's about to Kunta Kinte Otis for some reason. I don't know why Triple H thought this was a good idea. I mean, seriously, like that's what was about to happen. This dude was about to get lashes. So he told that man to grab a rope, and then he told everyone else to watch Akira Tozawa. They done clipped his balls. Like them joints is gone. They did him worse than they did Val Venus. Okay. Because this dude is literally just standing there while Maxine, she steps up, and you know, it ain't no woman man thing, but it's like, once you see her step up, like, you're not going to have her back. Like, come on, man. So she steps up, she stops Chad from smacking Otis with the whip. And then he tells her to get the hell out the ring, and she's heartbroken. Akira Tozawa is still just standing there lost in translation, dude. Like, How do you have that man come back from that? Like, I don't know what they got going on with him. Sami Zayn comes out eventually to stop there's no lashing, by the way, but he stops everything from happening. And then we get a long promo from Sami Zayn. Didn't really like the promo here. I get what they're going for, but I didn't really like the promo there. Chad gets the upper hand at the end, but segment was okay. Just thought it was really long.
It was so long. And I, too, had flashbacks to two things, actually. Roots and Django. Like, what are we doing with belts and whippings in 2024? It's like, why, Paul? Why? Why are you doing this, man? This is so unnecessary. I felt a kind of way about it. Sammy trying to save the day, trying to talk Otis into freeing thyself from thy shackles of the Alpha Academy. And Otis can't do it yet.
Shackles off my feet so I can dance. Good Lord.
I want to praise you.
Yeah. Somebody put Kirk Franklin. I don't know if we can put no Kirk Franklin. No Franklin. No Kirk Franklin. No God's property up in here. Let me tell you. He on that Diddy list.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, my God. Don't say that on air.
He ain't far from it. He ain't far from it.
Ciao.
Just saying, man. Listen, I used to rock out to him, okay? When they used to play that on Sundays, I used to get hyped, okay? Don't get it twisted. But he ain't far from it. MTD Jakes.
Woo,
you could probably put Joel Osteen in there.
Woo. Okay. All right. Let's not get sued on this show.
Sorry.
I ain't trying to catch a case. You ain't wrong, but I ain't trying to get sued.
Yeah, you're right. My bad.
You know.
Because you're right. One of them is probably randomly listening to this show. Because you're probably right about that. This is the wrestling show that they're probably like, yeah, I like these guys. I like them too.
And the ears perked up when Scott went in.
Caught a stray
out of nowhere, randomly. Kirk was like, why a minute? But yeah, the segment went too long. Love Sammy's babyface pluck and fight. But yeah, this went too long for me. And I know what the long game is going to be. It's going to be Otis turn on Chad. It's going to be a great day. But when that day comes, it'll be worth it in the end. As we get to now our main event, it is Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan inside of a steel cage for the Women's World Championship. Now, earlier in the show, Liv Morgan was talking to JD McDonagh, and JD allegedly said, well, you ain't going to be champion for long. And Dominic was like, I got to make up for what I did to mommy. You know, I didn't do right by her. I got to make sure that Becky walks out the champion. Damian says, take care of business. And we'll see about that. So this match has many layers to it. Come to find out that Becky Lynch's current contract expires this weekend, and she has not re-signed as of yet. Do not panic, people. I don't think she's leaving, but I think she's going to go on a very long vacation that was probably going to take place back at WrestleMania before Rhea's injury, unfortunately. So this match was fine. I thought they were shortchanged on time. I felt there was no real flow or body or fluidity to this match, just a bunch of banging against the steel cage. Nothing really in terms of movement that I felt versus their championship match this past Saturday at King and Queen of the Ring. It was just kind of there for me. We had moments on the top of the cage, but nothing really shocking or like, ooh, ah. If you look back at Trish versus Becky in their steel cage match at Payback last year, that was outstanding. This, it was fine. Then it came down to Dominic Mysterio coming down to the ring to allegedly help Becky Lynch. He opens the door and he's encouraging Becky, girl, come on, climb out, get your title back. And then we have JD McDonagh and Finn asking what you're doing. And then Dominic says, I got this, leave me be. And they try to. And then Braun Strowman and this show-long storyline and his quest to find JD McDonagh, he does so, and he chases Finn and JD around the ringside area, around the steel cage, and then with the door open, and Dom holding the door, we have Braun Strowman won over Dominic, and by doing that, Dom allegedly accidentally slams the door in Becky's face, and then Liv, who can just pin Becky to, you know, it's another win. A visual pinfall, regardless how you get it. But she decides to crawl out the ring, feet to the floor, retains the championship. It is 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and we are running out of time. So we have Liv and Dom stare at each other, and the show goes off the air. Not for the rest of the world, apparently, watching on TNT Sports and in Canada. We actually have.
But we'll tell you that next week on our next show. We'll let you know what happened. Talk to you guys next week. Peace. And that's how the show went. That's exactly how the show went. Because let me tell you, I'm looking at Liv, looking at this dude like, dang, dumb. She looking at you like she ready. And next thing you know, I see these people climbing a Mount Everest. And I'm like, all right. All right. took care of that right there. I got this dude talking about some, he's teaming up with his ex fiance's dad to go win 500K. Cool. I want to know if Liv jumped on top of Dom or not. Like, what y'all doing, man?
That's exactly what happened. I swear, because we saw Liv looking at Dom a kind of way. And it was given, like, you know, Trish and Christian back at WrestleMania 20 after she screwed Chris Jericho. Not literally, you know what I mean. And I'm like, okay, something's going to happen, right? Click, mountains, people climbing mountains. Now, on this show, we're going to tell you exactly what happened at the end. We're not going to be withholding this information. So I go on my timeline, and I have to credit Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful because he had the screen grab first. And they was like, Liv kissed Dominic. I'm like, the fuck? She did? Yes, she did. Then I saw the TNT sports footage, and she laid one on him. Good God. Trish should be proud. But Dominic was not exactly, you know, giving her the sugar just yet. He was kind of like disgusted for now. Now, when they run this back in a few weeks, oh, they're going to be making out like Christian and Trish and Edge and Lita way back in 05, 06. Guarantee you that. So that finish, USA, WWE, you got to time things better. Leave fitting, you've been doing a good job. But your timing as of late, you got to understand this is not a overrun show. This is a prompt in at 11 o'clock. You got to do better with your timing. You basically deprive the American audience of that moment that we needed to see to add a new layer to the storyline. But we got it thanks to the international viewers out there that saw it. And we'll see the fallout next week. Main event, so-so. Closing angle, pretty good.
Yeah, I thought the main event was okay. Like I said, I thought the last hour was pretty good. The finish wasn't that great. Braun just, you know, Thomas the Train and everybody is one thing. But, it is what it is. And that match, now Liv can say, I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, Liv's the only person in history to have a pinfall over Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. So she's got that going for her, because I think the only person to beat Becky Lynch was, or to beat Ronda Rousey was Becky Lynch. So she's got things that she can talk about, especially with Becky going away for a while. Like, think about the things that Liv can say going forward. Liv can be like, not only did I send Ronda Rousey away, I sent Becky Lynch away. I ended this historic title reign. I'm the GOAT. Like, she has a lot. I think Raw should have been she should have got a long promo. I think she should have got a chance to just brag. Hopefully next week she does get that chance, because there's a lot that she can say. There's a lot that she can claim she's the reason for, with all these top women leaving and these, you know, regardless of how we feel, these accomplishments that she has. So, finish wasn't great. Yeah. And just the timing is weird, especially when you're not saying like, oh, we're going to, you know, tune in to go check us out on X and see what's about to happen, or go check at WWE.com. Like, that's what they used to do. They'd be like, oh, you know, see what's going to happen on the WWE network. Like, I remember Sheamus and Rusev had a whole match that continued after Raw ended on the WWE network. So, like, I don't know, just really bad timing. Give them the 5 minutes. You just need to go ahead and get the 5 minutes. I think the people climbing those mountains will be okay if they got to wait five more minutes, like we said at the beginning of the show.
For sure.
If they're tuning in for that, they will be at 11 o'clock anyway. They will be okay tuning in at 11:05.
Yes. So they'd be intrigued as to who is this woman kissing. This is interesting. This is soapy. So yeah, I think that they can wait an extra five on the mountain. I totally agree with you. Yeah, this was a missed time by WWE. They cannot do this again, because that was a big angle that we did not see in this country. And that was definitely a choice in terms of timing by WWE. They got to get that kind of locked down a bit better moving forward. But overall, I thought this was a weak episode of Monday Night Raw, one of the weaker episodes in the Paul Levesque era so far. I know it was Memorial Day, big competition via the Pacers and Celtics, as the Celtics swept the Pacers. And of course, we had the NHL playoffs going down as well with Dallas and Edmonton, and Dallas won that game as well. So it's going to be a haul to get through the rest of the sports season for WWE before the Olympics hit in a couple of months' time. So hopefully WWE can kind of put their best foot forward, because they have another show in 2 weeks at Clash at the Castle they've got to build up and get ready for.
Nah, no, they don't. They got Drew McIntyre is the sell there, and the appeal of CM Punk. They don't really have to do a lot for that show, I don't think. I think you've got your marquee, you know, which is Drew and Damian. You know, CM Punk is somehow going to make his presence felt. You know, you'll throw a couple other matches on there, but I think you've got your main selling point is that title match anyway for that. So, I mean, yeah, you want to make sure it's filled out, but you've got your marquee.
Yeah, and Punk should be almost cleared, hitting the 6-month mark, and I think he'll be back by SummerSlam in the ring, most likely. So we'll see how it goes, and that wraps up episode of Monday Night Raw in Savannah, Georgia. Today. And now it's time to put a bow on this week's episode of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. I do want to thank my captain, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we recap the week that was in WWE so far, with a lot more to come in the days ahead.
Yeah, we got some busy times coming. I'm looking forward to them having some normal time PLEs, but, you know, Clash is going to be another random time, but it's all good. We'll review that. We'll be back next week for Raw, SmackDown, and maybe something good will happen on NXT. But as always, Keela, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Mavs in six.
Mavs in six. That's his mantra. We shall see if by some miracle the Wolves come back to do something. We'll reconvene next week. I doubt it. Maybe they can steal a game on the road. I don't know, but we shall see.
Oh, I think the Timberwolves will win one. Okay. I think the Mavs will win that series in five.
Yeah, I think it's a good possibility. I think they've also given away some games early on as well in terms of the Wolves, and I think their time will come. It just won't be this year, unfortunately. But we'll keep tabs on that and reconvene next week as we will run down another busy week in WWE, and our next PLE event will be prior to Castle. It will be WWE Battleground, or NXT Battleground, I should say, from the UFC Apex Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Sunday, June 9th at a respectable hour at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, or 7, whatever time it's going to be for this PLE on Peacock. We'll get those times together eventually, but we will do a show and talk about it and hope that it's good as they try to build up that card with Sexy Red appearing on tonight's NXT.
I do not like Sexy Red, so I don't care. Get it sexy. I don't care. I don't want to see her get it. Isn't she still pregnant?
I don't know.
Okay, so I bet you it's going to do well. Like, I bet you people will tune in. You know, I'm sure people are like, it's cool. And it is cool. Like, but I just don't like Sexy Red or anything she bring into the table. I don't think she puts out good music, but who am I? Who cares what I think?
It only matters what Walker HBK thinks, because he discovered her.
Boy, do love him some chocolate, though. Get it sexy.
He sure does. And we'll talk about it. Oh, we're going to talk about it for sure. Don't worry about it right here on The Wrap. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, enjoy the rest of the week. For WWE, we'll be back next week to talk about it all. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week, everybody. Take care and bye-bye.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.